Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. I'm delighted to have as my guest today Diana Abu-Jaber, and we're going to be discussing her new novel, Origin, which has been published by Norton. And first of all, Diana, thank you so much for appearing on the show today.
Thank you, Casey. I'm delighted.
I discovered your work. Your editor sent me the novel. I read the first 50 pages and called her and said, I have to have Diana on the show because it was something that was utterly different and utterly compelling, and something I think that listeners will love. Before we get into Origin, tell us a little bit about your background. I also read The Language of Baklava, which is a wonderful novel, which describes your background. And if you would, tell us a little bit about Crescent, Arabian Jazz, and then The Language of Baklava prior to us getting into Origin.
Well, sure. Arabian Jazz was my first novel, and that came out in the early 90s, and it was somewhat autobiographical. It's about a Middle Eastern family in America, and so for me, it was a real foray into the unknown. I hadn't read anything about Arab-American families before, and so it was kind of my leap into trying something, for me, that was very new. And Crescent was a kind of extension of that. Crescent was about a American/Iraqi woman who is a chef. She's a wonderful cook, and it's set in Los Angeles, and she cooks at her Middle Eastern restaurant in the Persian section of Los Angeles, and there's a love affair that happens with a mysterious, exotic linguistics professor at UCLA who turns out to be from Iraq. And so it has those elements of the Middle East in there and my own interests in food and cooking. And then The Language of Baklava is a kind of extension of that where I tell my family story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, in large part, it's about my father, who is a very serious cook, someone who has always wanted his own restaurant, spent practically his entire adult life trying to get a restaurant, and then when he finally got one, didn't like it. So I tell his story, and that book, it's a memoir, and it's sprinkled with my father's recipes. So every chapter has a number of Middle Eastern recipes that accompany the family stories. And that's what brought me up to Origin.
Yes, and I'd like to say that The Language of Baklava, I very strongly recommend it because your Jordanian father, Bud, is a hilarious character. I'm looking forward to trying out some of the recipes. It is available in a nice trade paperback. And what I like that you capture in The Language of Baklava is the importance of food in the ethnic culture that comes to the United States, how food is the centerpiece of life. And that's something that a lot of different immigrant descendants from Italy, Ireland, where you name it, Jordan, that's been a common theme in their experiences. Food is an important family, a part of the family ritual.
Yes, absolutely. It's, I think it really does cross all kinds of cultural boundaries because so many people approached me after The Language of Baklava came out to say, I wasn't raised in a Middle Eastern family, but we have Italian ancestors or German ancestors, or you know, even within the United States, many generations of American families trade, they pass down recipes and exchange them, and it's a way of preserving our cultural memory and our connection between generations. For my family, it was absolutely a very important way of sharing information about who my parents were and their culture, and also just the sense of love and connection between the generations.
Mm-hmm. And a nice way to acclimate the people that had come over from Jordan into the American culture, so that they were more comfortable and felt more a part of things. I got that feeling as well.
Yes, absolutely. Because then you can invite people in and, you know, I could lecture about Middle Eastern culture, but it's much more fun to share a plate of hummus, you know, and some falafel. And that way everyone participates. It's not political. It's just about people sharing good things.
Yes. And so here we have two novels and a memoir. They're very lush in their writing, very sensual. And I open up Origin, and it was a very stark departure for you, but at the same time, it does really bring to life all five senses of the reader in a very different way, I think, than the reader is used to being approached. It's not the direct head-on attack of the senses. It's much more subtle, much more sensual, and it works. But it was I would imagine as you were writing this, it was a much different type of writing you were doing with Origin.
Yes, I knew I wanted to do something that was kind of crisp and stark, and I wanted a real page turner, you know. So I was going for almost a kind of film noir effect, something very moody and turbulent and just clean writing. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was something that I had to go into a really different space for my work than I'm used to. I wasn't spending a lot of time cooking and eating and smelling things. Instead, I was really trying to evoke the cold, specifically Syracuse, New York, and a long, cold winter in which very dark things are happening, and I'm trying to, yes, appeal to the senses, but doing it in a different, much cooler way.
Yes. And let's talk a little bit about Syracuse, because Crescent takes place in Los Angeles, and in Origin, it takes place in Syracuse. And as I was reading it, I was thinking that probably is about the perfect size city for the story. And longtime listeners to the show know that we're not going to give away any of the endings or the clues or anything like that. But it's kind of an ideal size community for a story like Origin to take place in. If you set it in L.A., that it would have been too big. If you would have set it in, you know, a city of 5,000 people, it probably would have been too small to handle the plot that you develop.
Good. Yeah, I was really working from my own memories of growing up in Syracuse, and for me, Syracuse is a great setting for a thriller because it has this kind of old, gritty, almost Victorian quality to it. There's several generations of architecture in that city. Pieces of it are a little bit crumbling. There's a real ancient, venerable beauty as well. And so you get this fascinating conglomeration of architectural style, city layout, and also the people who live in Syracuse are from a real combination of different economic and professional classes. And so it felt to me like it really worked as a good setting for a thriller. You know, it was a place where it was just dark enough to, I felt, I hope it's true, to be convincing for this kind of a dark plot.
Yeah, I agree. And the protagonist is Lena Dawson. She works in a forensic lab as a crime lab tech who specializes in fingerprint analysis. And one of the things that I found fascinating about it, Diana, is that she is at an age in her life where she's really coming to terms with a lot of different parts of her identity that a lot of us come to terms with in the first 6 years of our life. and she is confronted and has a lot of confusion about her identity, which plays a critical role in the novel. And but yet she's in this very technical world that she lives in, and she's very good at what she does.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Lena is really someone who has a tremendous struggle in front of her personally. She was raised with virtually no information about her biological parents, and she has this belief about her origins that she clings to, and it really is her life challenge, I would say, to try to uncover the mystery of where she herself came from. So to me, she's a very poignant character, because I can't imagine a more difficult challenge to anyone than the challenge of not being able to point to any sort of ancestry or biology or family history, and to try and create your own identity alone in the world the way Lena does.
Yes, and on page 25, she says, "I read somewhere that Isaac Newton said he felt like a child picking up shells beside the ocean of truth. I looked through the interior glass walls full of modern equipment, and I understand what he meant."
Yes.
I thought that was a revealing a statement of how she feels, that here she has all of this technology at her fingertips, yet it doesn't really seem to do her much good in terms of and really a lot of people deal with these things of identity, and in her case it's so deeply ingrained, and she loves that technical aspect of, she really doesn't want to deal with people, does she?
That's right. She's sort of caught between these two places. One is the mystery of her past, and then the other is her ongoing work as an investigator looking into mysteries, and the two seem to exist in almost parallel dimensions. The technology, it can only get her so far, and she has to move into her own senses, her own intuition, her own memory, her own courage, in order to see if she can take the next step beyond into really seeing the truth, you know, both about herself and about the cases that she ends up investigating in Origin.
And during the novel Origin, which is published by Norton, she's going through a divorce with her soon-to-be ex-husband Charlie, and he knows her secret history, which she keeps to herself. It was a 10-year marriage that was just going nowhere. And it seems she's at a point in her life where she's tired of sleepwalking through life, and she wants to wake up and become more alive. And the contrast between her, you know, kind of like folk, she likes to eat bread and really simple things, versus the language of baklava and the, you know, in the other novels, she really leads a very simple life. But it seems to me that she wants to break out of that. She wants to change, but there's a real fear involved there.
That's right. You know, it's to me, evocative of the kind of crossroads that so many of us come to in our lives, when we get to a point where we know that a job or a relationship or something just isn't working anymore. And we can either cling to that same pattern, or we can try to summon the internal resources and take that next step beyond. And Lena is at that kind of crossroads. Can she push through? Is she strong enough? Is she brave enough to do it? And Charlie, as her ex-husband, I had a huge amount of fun with that character, because he's so awful in
yes.
so many ways. And yet I'm quite fond of him as well. You know, he's sort of the quintessential boyfriend who won't let go. So Lena, she has to deal with her own fears of, you know, looking hard at the reality that this relationship isn't working, and yet being able to leave it. And those are two different things.
Yes. And also being pulled into the spotlight in with the case,
yeah,
which really makes her more visible, and she has to confront some of the issues that she's kept alive. And I also really like the character of Pia, her foster mother, who it seems like everyone has people in their lives that, you know, like that say, they're always telling you, well, you don't need to know that, or, you know, that's more than you need to know. And at a certain point in your life, you say, you know what? No, I do want to know the answer to that question.
Yes. 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 I think we're surrounded by gatekeepers,
yes,
you know, and the secret keepers in our lives who are really invested in keeping things quiet and calm and the same. And there's probably a certain, you know, common sense to that, but by the same token, if you want to move beyond those places, as Lena does, you've got to do the hard, scary thing of pushing past that. And Pia is such a difficult character because she's the closest thing that Lena has to a mother, and yet she's not a mother. And that's a lot of what Origin is about. What is a mother? What is a parent? You know, what can we expect from our parents? And how can we keep our children safe? Is it possible? So, yeah, I was trying to explore that.
Yes, and on page 59, there's a beautiful sentence where Lena observes that damaged children are all of the same tribe. I can look at any adult and recognize one instantly. And
yes,
I think there's truth in that.
It's a big theme in the book about what happens to us in our childhood and what we carry with us from those early years into our adult life, and what can we put down along the way. You know, Lena is probably one of the most challenged characters I've ever written in my books, and I really didn't make things easy for her at all. People have been lying to her all her life. No one has ever told her the truth. And she's been given almost no opportunities to come to any kind of self-realization. So it's tremendously hard for someone like this to break through to the other side. And that's part of the question mark of the book. Can she do it?
Yes. My guest today is Diana Abu-Jaber. We're discussing Origin. And Diana, when you started out with this novel, with now looking back that it's done in the stores, getting great reviews, did you kind of know where you were going with it when you got started, or did this story develop and take shape, and were there several drafts before you came up with what you were happy with?
I always think I know what I'm doing when I start, you know,
yeah,
and it never works out that way. I do like to write outlines before I begin, and I find that the outline process is almost as a part of the revision process, that as I'm writing the book, the outline changes, and I think I know how it's going to end, and inevitably the ending takes me through probably 3, 4, 5 different outlines before I finally feel like I really understand where the novel has to go. You know, part of the process, I think, is in learning who your character is, and the better you learn your character and their internal life, what motivates them and what frightens them, the better you understand what the story is going to be. And it takes a while to get to know your characters, just like in life, it takes a while to get to know people.
Mm-hmm. And with in Origin, there was a passage where Lena says, "I've gotten comfortable with living in a state of suspense. With suspense, everything is still possible. Mystery contains its own possibilities of parents and history, and knowing too much is a sort of a loss." I found that fascinating, the concept that there's a kind of a part of ourselves that we try to keep, that makes us unique and different from other people, so we can keep a distance that,
right,
that I don't know this about myself, and I really don't know if I want to know or not.
Right. This is the whole problem with psychotherapy, you know.
Yeah.
It's really kind of tough. They say that the less in touch you are with reality, the happier you are as a person.
Yeah.
I think there's a real truth to that. Lena understands that you have to be ready to know something. And sometimes we don't always feel ready to know or grasp or accept certain painful truths about ourselves. And I think there's a real wisdom in that, that all truths have a time and a place in our lives that we can come to them and really look at them and embrace them. But you have to wait for that moment, for that time to occur.
And Diana, what part of the of your experience having a Jordanian father, what role did that play in Origin? Sometimes the prejudice that people carry around, and the people that get disenfranchised, and there's Mr. I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Manomana.
Oh, Mr. Memdua,
yes.
Yes, yes.
He was a fascinating character. And with the background that you've written about before, did you bring any of that to Origin as you were developing characters and writing about the things that happen?
I think it's definitely in there. It's a bit disguised from how I usually approach those topics, though. I would say the main way that my sort of cultural awareness and identity comes through for Lena is in that she is searching for identity. I was raised between cultures. You know, my father always told me and my sisters that we were Jordanian, that we were good Jordanian girls. But we were living in the United States, and so it was very confusing. Also, I don't happen to look traditionally Middle Eastern.
Right.
So people were always saying to me, you know, oh, you're an American. No, you're not Arab. So that was profoundly confusing, and there was always this question mark. Well, who am I? My father says one thing, my friends say another. And so that difficulty, the elusive identity, was very, very critical in my exploration of Lena's issues in Origin. If you can't just look at yourself in the mirror and say, here I am, this is who I am, if you've ever grown up with any sort of confusion about your identity or where you belong in the world, I think you understand the struggle that a character like Lena goes through in Origin. And Mr. Memdua, of course, he's my secret agenda character. I work in there. There's a lot of working out of the way we tend to villainize people or accuse them without taking the time to really get to the truth. And of course, I'm really getting at the media and a lot of this book as well, how the media tends to seize on one narrative and promote one reading or one sensational story, and that often gets in the way of discovering the truth. So you can see how it's influenced by my Middle Eastern background there, I think.
Yes.
But of course, in this story, it's a little disguised.
Yes, and that's one of the things, Diana, that I found so refreshing and so original about Origin, and I really strongly recommend the book to readers, because as the plot evolves and as the story develops, it's so nice to read subtle writing, but it does have that thriller page-turner quality to it. And as you're reading it, my sense was, I'm reading something really different here. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. Well, you know, I was very aware that I wanted it to be a book that you absolutely could not put down. And I wanted there to be just tons of suspense. And I discovered it was incredibly fun to write a book like that, where you put in all kinds of twists and turns, and that you can do it and still have layers, and you can still have complicated, interesting characters. I was worried that writing a thriller, you might have to sacrifice some of the things that I associate with literary fiction. But then I started reading more widely among different kinds of thriller writers, people like Kate Atkinson,
mm-hmm.
and Peter Hoag, Smell a Sense of Snow,
mm-hmm.
Even Joyce Carol Oates to a certain extent.
Sure.
Oh, gosh, there were so many writers who I discovered were wonderful, exciting, suspenseful writers who also have fabulous, fabulous characters. And so I felt like, yeah, I'm going to try this out and see if I can pull it off. So yes. I had a lot of fun with it.
Good. And you succeeded, because Kate Atkinson's been a guest on the show, and I love her writing. And I think that my friend Andre Dubuque, the father, used to say that too many writers underestimate the intelligence of their readers. Maybe not the writers. I would say it's more the publishing companies and the media companies. They underestimate the intelligence that people have, which is really an offensive thing to do. That he always gave the reader the benefit of the doubt, that they were going to be able to understand where he was going to go with his characters. And I think you do the same thing in Origin.
Oh, thank you, Casey. I really like to think so, because I know how gratifying it is when you encounter a really smart, you know, movie or book or even a television show.
Yes.
Something that is challenging and provocative is deeply exciting. It's not just the usual old stuff again.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah, good. Now, with Origin out now, how are you feeling about where you want to go from here? Or are you still kind of working that out?
Well, it's interesting, you know, because I am a newcomer to the whole mystery thriller genre. I hadn't really been aware that when you write one, that people expect more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That people tend to read series of these kinds of books, and I've given a few readings now from Origin, just starting the book tour, and people are asking me, are there going to be sequels? So I think I'm going to write a sequel.
Good.
Because, wow.
Well, I'll tell you, being a longtime mystery reader, people do love sequels, and mm-hmm. I think what it is, and I think with Lena Dawson, what you've done is you've created a unique character, and that's what mystery, and the thing about mystery genre readers are, is they are extremely loyal. If they like a character, they will stick with that character and that writer, because it's so hard to find good books that when you latch on to an author you like, particularly people that travel and their time is limited, they like to know that what they're going to get when they buy something. So I think that's part of the appeal of the series character, is a comfort level with the serious reader that they feel comfortable with a series character. So I'm excited to hear you entertain that concept, because and that's quite a compliment to you, because it's hard to break into that
Excellent.
Genre. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I love it. You know, I've never had people come up to me and say, write more of these. So what writer can resist that?
Exactly. Well, Diana, it's been a real pleasure talking with you today about Origin.
Thank you, Casey. It's been really fun.
And also The Language of Baklava. I look forward to making a few of the recipes. And congratulations on taking the risk. Congratulations to Norton for having the courage to publish something that's a little off the beaten path. And this is not, for listeners out there, this is not the end of the interviews with Diana. There'll be more to come, because I think this book is going to put you firmly into the bestseller category. So congratulations, and I look forward to talking to you down the road when the next book comes out.
Thank you so much, Casey. It's been a blast.
Okay, you take care.
Okay, you too.